All right, good morning, everyone. It's 8:31. I'll call this meeting to order. I'd like to ask Art Skinnador to do the opening this morning.
Uncle Artley for the opening this morning.
All right, our next order of business is special recognition for years of service. Geraldine.
Oops. Good morning. We're here to recognize our employees who have given their time and dedication to the Oneida Nation. Those employees that we're recognizing today have 25 years of service or more. So what I always like to do is, what happened when these employees start working for the Oneida Nation back in 1993? Well, President Bush declared 1992 as the year of the American Indian. So the tribe declared the fiscal year 1992-93 the year of the Oneida Nation. The gaming and retail combined and opened Highway 54 One-Stop Expansion Project, which was the first station to sell gas, cigarettes, and have an attached casino. So those are some of the things that occurred in 1993. So with that, we will start with our first recipient, Jeff Carlson, with 25 years of service.
Good morning. Jeff Carlson has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. He has served as the Business Operations Director for the Oneida Comprehensive Health Division since moving to health in 1995. Jeff has been an asset to the Oneida Comprehensive Health Division and to the Oneida Nation for the past 25 years. He's proven his dedication to the organization through his efforts to continuously improve the financial picture of the Oneida Comprehensive Health Division. And just to give you an idea of what that means, when Jeff started with us, at one point we were at high as $18 to $20 million of tribal contribution for the operation of the Oneida Comprehensive Health Division. And within the last, the previous last 3 to 4 years, we have been able to diminish that to essentially zero in the consolidated health division, consolidated health portion of the division, and to a very minimum of less than $1.5 million for the remainder of the division, which includes employee health nursing and the Anna John Resident Center care community. So Jeff has been instrumental in leading his business operations team to be able to enhance our third-party revenues and to be able to maximize our reimbursements from Medicare, Medicaid, and through private insurances for the health division. Through his dedication, knowledge, skills, and abilities, he's been instrumental in assisting the consolidated health. He is always willing to go the extra mile for his staff and his colleagues. His focus is always on customer service, both internally and externally. So on behalf of the Oneida Comprehensive Health Division, the Oneida Nation, and the Oneida Business Committee, I thank you, Jeff, for 25 years of service.
I'd just like to say thank you. I started with the fearsome threesome. The three amigos were Deanna Bowman, Judy Skinador, and Debbie. And we've gone through a number of different medical directors, starting with Dr. Sunless, Dr. Patel, Dr. Martin, crazy guy, now Dr. Ravi Veer, and I just appreciate the opportunity to work here and to work with the people that I think have driven the healthcare institution in Oneida to the highest possible level, and that's Ravi and Debbie. Thank you very much for allowing me to work with you.
Next, we have Georgia Stevens with 25 years of service. No? Okay. All right, we'll go to Donna Van Ark with 25 years of service.
So Donna also has provided 25 years of continuous commitment with the Oneida Nation. Donna began her journey with the Oneida Nation in 1993 as an accountant. She originally started in the original accounting office located here at the Norbert Hill Center. Donna made a commute from Milwaukee for many years, back and forth from Green Bay as she worked in the accounting department. Essentially, over those years, the snowstorms, I'm sure, drove her to buy a home in Green Bay where she originally resides today. Donna continues to work in the accounting department representing the gaming division. Donna has remained consistent holding her position as an accountant and has witnessed the growth of the Oneida Nation and experienced technological changes within the accounting field, going from what many of us have remembered being, Lee's laughing, the green bar reports to now an accounting software system. And as she witnessed gaming grow, going from coin and hoppers to Tito, ticket in and ticket out. Donna is always reliable. She's a dedicated employee. She's a team player. She's friendly. She's courteous and respectful to all. And congratulations, Donna.
Thank you. Being here for 25 years, I enjoyed it.
Next, we have Sarah Underall with 25 years of service.
First off, thanks everyone who's here for the 25 years of recognition. Thank you for your service. Sarah was hired in 93 by Dave Klucke. I don't think he's able to make it here today. Sarah was hired as one of the first PC support specialists a while ago, even kind of in the advent of our whole IT field. Her career here has evolved over the years from that PC support specialist role all the way up to a systems engineer that she's doing now, even a major skill set change, which is can be quite difficult in technology, moving from Novell technologies over to Microsoft technologies over the last 7-8 years, I believe. She's worked on some pretty big projects for Oneida in the Novell days. She had to go to each server in different buildings and upgrade all the operating systems and patch them and ensuring all the systems that are residing on them are working well. She's been in charge of our backup environment, which was IBM TSM for many years, and ensuring that was stable and working well for everyone. And then recently migrating over to a new backup platform, Rubrik, that went very successfully and has gone very well. She's also another big project, SharePoint, migrating from our on-premise one up to the cloud for O365 and getting that rolled out. Another big project she's worked on is identity management, and that project includes ensuring single sign-on and a few other different technical details. And then another large one that kind of gets overlooked quite a bit is that Novell to Microsoft change over several years ago from our file and print over to Microsoft, and that was probably a multi-year project that, you know, most people kind of take for granted. You know, there's my file, I'll grab it, now it's on all new servers. So thank you for your years of service, Sarah.
One for making speeches, but I will tell you, it was a long time ago when I started here. When it comes to computers, one of the first things that I remember was we were starting out our networking. Maury Reed had started a week before I did, and we had just connected Little Bear Development Center network to ours here at Norbert Hill. And we could literally read the files off of that server from this building. And we thought that was just the coolest thing ever. And now they're all connected, and half of them are in the cloud. So it's been a long time. enjoyed it. The technology here is wonderful. The backbone of our network is wonderful. I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys, the employees are not required to say anything. So if you're really shy and don't want to say anything, you're not required to do so. Next is Lee Thomas with 25 years of service.
Good morning. I'd like to thank and congratulate Lee Thomas on 25 years of service with the Oneida Nation. When he started, he was a travel clerk, and he has progressed his way through various departments and positions with the Oneida Nation and Central Accounting, where he is now the controller. That experience and knowledge makes him a valuable asset to the Oneida Nation as well as Central Accounting. One of the projects he is most proud of is implementing Software 2000, I think it was originally called, which is now the Infinium, the AS400 system that we use. So I don't know where the department would be without Lee Thomas. It is my pleasure to thank him for 25 years of dedication and service.
Lee must be our first shy one. He chose not to talk. Next, we have Harry Anderson, or Andy Cornelius, 25 years of service.
Morning, everybody. My name is Blair Broughton, Assistant Slot Director. Harry, rather be called Andy, since I know him, so I'll go ahead with that. Andy has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. He has worked for the slot technical department for 18 of those years. He's a valued employee who supports the nation's commitment to great customer service. Andy understands the concept of teamwork and has his staff ready and willing to assist when needed. He takes pride in his staff and the duties they perform. He is respected by his peers and is well received by customers he associates with. The slot department is very proud to celebrate 25 years of service with Andy. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, Oneida Business Committee, Gaming Management, we are thankful to Andy for his dedication to the organization. Thank you.
Next, we have Sandy Skenador with 25 years of service.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Jennifer Hill-Kelly, the Area Manager for Education and Training. And I'm very excited today to celebrate Sandy and her 25 years of commitment to the organization. So Sandy is the counselor for the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, we call it WIOA, in the Job Training Department. She has been providing services to job seekers within the Oneida Nation for the past 25 years. She is most recognized for her work with the youth and their employment both in the summer and during the school year. She has managed the Summer Youth Work Experience Program through many different federal agencies over the years. So I'll blast from the past. CETA, JTPA, the Workforce Investment Act, and now WIOA. Sandra is well respected by her peers across Indian country and well known in our community as a volunteer and a dedicated community member. We are so proud to celebrate 25 years with her. She continuously shows her dedication to the community by working extended hours to volunteering her free time to help others. She never hesitates to lend a hand and always can be relied upon to assist in any task needed. Sandra exemplifies our Oneida value of Gatlet Jalusla, the heartfelt encouragement of the best in each of us. She is a valuable asset not only to the organization, but has contributed to our nation building by helping others find their passion. She has played a key role to participants entering the workforce and continued on to that position, helping their kids and their grandkids. We are most appreciative of her dedication to the nation, and we thank her today.
Thank you, and it's been a long time. I was surprised how fast the years went by. I started out in Indian child welfare, working with the community, with the families, and helping reunite families. Then I went to Community Options, and Jeff Carlson, thank you. You really helped me a lot. I was so grateful for his help. And I want to thank Jennifer, Chris, Melissa, and the rest of the staff, because they really helped me, and we've gone through some changes lately in our program, and they're very supportive of me, and they included me in their group. And I have been here a long time, and I think the most fun part of it was working with the youth program, because I work with some of the council members, DeHasi, Brandon. I work with Lisa's son, and I'm now working with the grandchildren. So it's a lot of fun because I see them in the communities and all their contributions they're making. I want to thank my family, Sid, Emma, Christine, Krista, and Evelyn for being here. And I know if my family is really important to me, and this is a community, and we're all one big family. Thank you.
So those who were unable to make it today was Sean LeGarry, Carol Baumgart, Sandra Castle, Maurice Reed, Laurel Meyerspooner, Jeff Sott, and Carlos Cornelius, and Georgia Stevens. So those employees also had 25 years of service. So if we could, I mean, these employees have been here for 25 years. They've seen change. They've been here through the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. So they hung in there. And so we'd like to give them one last round of applause for their time with the organization.
right, the next item on our to-do list here is to adopt the agenda. I think we're looking for a motion to adopt the agenda, deleting item 4A, oath of office, that was already completed, and under executive session, new business F4, under the contract file number, adding 0958.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ernie, seconded by Lisa.
I have a question on this.
Question on adoption of the agenda, Mike.
Lisa, can you please tell me, was there a members-only packet for this particular meeting? Because as of 4 p.m. yesterday, I went on the website to print off the packet, and there was nothing there for the members-only. I didn't check this morning, but if there is something there, then it was only placed there this morning. And that's kind of difficult to print that off and be ready for this meeting if there was something, and it was put on there this morning.
No, there was not, Mike. There was not a need for a members-only packet because there were no general tribal council items up for consideration for this meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the question and the answer. Any further discussion on the adoption of the agenda? Seeing none, we'll vote. And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is minutes. We approve the July 25th, 26th, 2018 regular meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion on the minutes. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is resolutions. We got adopt resolution entitled Continuing Budget Resolution Fiscal Year 2019.
I have a number of questions on this, if I may, please.
Just a second, Mike. Is anyone from finance here? Okay, yeah. Thank you, Relinda.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're on the continuing budget resolution. I guess Mike had some questions right off the bat. Go ahead, Mike. You got 5 minutes.
Thank you. I'll run through all my questions first, and then I'll wait for the responses. Okay. That way I can kind of keep track of it a little bit better. My first comment is on page 29. The last sentence there, it says, in the event that General Tribal Council does not adopt a budget by September 30th, the Oneida Business Committee may adopt a continuing budget resolution until such time as the budget is adopted. Just for the record, I'm thoroughly against that. I don't believe that the Business Committee should be allowing a continuing resolution if GTC hasn't approved the budget. If GTC doesn't approve the budget, there's probably ample and good reason as to why they don't, and I think to continually do that would slap GTC in the face. So I'm totally against that. Jumping ahead to page 31, lines 95 through 99, it says the Treasurer and the Oneida Business Committee have scheduled community meetings, community budget meetings, and presented information at General Tribal Council and Oneida Business Committee meetings, and has not received adequate input from the meetings to provide guidance regarding budget development as required in section 121.52 of the Budget Management and Control Law. I'd like to know or see a schedule from Trish via email, because I'd love to know when and where these community meetings were held, because none were ever held at SEOTS that I'm aware of. And correct me if I'm wrong, SEOTS is still part of the community. And we have never been asked our input on any of that. Then flipping over to page 32, at lines 112 through 115, it says the Oneida Business Committee will utilize the quality of life surveys and input received from GTC on September 24th to determine the priorities as required by the Budget Management and Control Law. I have serious problems with this, because for years, the quality of life was never producing any reports. And now all of a sudden, the Business Committee is going to utilize them with respect to our budget. I have serious, serious concerns over that. Then, additionally, going ahead to lines 157 through 161, it says, set forth in the 1982 resolution and 1990 motion of the General Tribal Council adopting job descriptions, desires to adopt a continuing budget resolution that aligns to the Oneida Business Committee Strategic Plan Foundations, directing operations to the Oneida Nation to continue, that protects the ability of General Tribal Council to make budgetary decisions. I disagree with that. And that's firstly. Secondly, I'd like to know where copies of the resolutions are, because I went into 1982 on the website and there was only one resolution, and that's resolution 22582. I don't know what resolution you're citing from the 1990s, because there's about 30 or 40 of them in there from the 1990s on the website. And those were not included in this packet. And I think that's highly detrimental to GTC if they don't know what you're citing and the reasons and rationale for it. Additionally, on page 34, there's some interesting facts here on the LRO. And if you go down to the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph where it starts, the law permits the Oneida Business Committee, go to that second sentence and it says, due to the fact that the Oneida Business Committee did not receive adequate input from the community budget meetings and recommendations from the chief financial officer and fund unit managers, the Oneida Business Committee required more time to solicit input for the establishment of the priority list required by section 12.53 of the law. My question on that is, how does the LRO know that? How does the LRO know that to make that statement? That's firstly. And secondly, when is that law going to be brought back to General Tribal Council, that Budget Management and Control Act? Is it going to be brought back to GTC? And if so, when? Those are my questions.
Larry? Mr. Chair, I respect the questions by Mr. DeBrasca. Understand, a continuing resolution is not countermanding any authority of GTC whatsoever, in my opinion. It's a bridge, a mechanism to maintain fundamental operations with the delivery of services and operation to the enterprises so as to continue to function as a organization and to deliver services to the community. Implicitly, does GTC still hold that authority? My belief is yes, as a financial leader, but the practical matter is we still have to have a clinic open, we still have to have the Anna John nursing home open, we still have to have the casino, retail, and all the functionality deliver services. And we recognize, yes, the budget is being delayed as such. The timing for which the BMCA, Budget Management Control Act, is being implemented relative to the timing is problematic. I won't offer a deep dive as to how that sequentially occurred, but I understand and respect where, again, Mr. DeBrasca is coming from. Importantly, community meetings, we value those. We've committed to those. We'll continue with those. Those are to be scheduled as we continue with the roll-up. And for sake of clarification, the finance office did deliver recommendations relative to boundaries for cuts. The committee accepted and acknowledged that. We're still working that through to reconcile our fiscal gap, which the treasurer announced is $22 million. So that's a work in progress. So some timing problems, we acknowledge that. Importantly, I'm not sure council or LRO can express when the BMCA is going to be contemplated by the membership, but it would appear it's been adopted. And it's not a cure-all. It's a guideline to methodically provide a fiscal process that has clarity and role definition in order to add value and expediency with delivering our budget to GTC, and that's, I think, the good faith intent. But council, our councilors here can speak to that, and or our assistant CFO to answer your questions. Thank you.
So the Budget Management Control Law was adopted in accordance with the Legislative Procedures Act. It is a law of the nation that the Treasurer, the Finance Department, and the rest of this organization are doing our very best to follow, and to it, which is intended to garner community input in the development of the tribe's budget. The other questions asked in regards to the 1982 resolution, it's located on the website, and it's also located within the minutes for that at that GTC meeting that occurred on that date. The other is the 1990 motions. You will not find the resolutions. It is a motion that approved the job descriptions for the officers of the business committee. I believe the council member's job description was adopted at a slightly later date, all of which are located on the nation's website. I also believe that those position descriptions for the business committee officers and council members located on the business committee's website, if you wanted to look there to find that. The information that the Legislative Reference Office utilized in regards to the comments received in accordance with the Budget and Control Act actually is found in the whereas located at line 101. Larry is correct. He has followed the Budget Management and Control Act and provided recommendations to the business committee, which were adopted in order to balance the budget. That line is actually referring to the responsibility of this organization and all of its business units to respond to questions and queries raised in community budget meetings, as well as regarding the priorities set by this nation in regards to capital expenditures and other activities of the tribe. And we haven't had sufficient input in which to respond to any of those. So that line is accurate. We have not had the ability to respond, address, modify, amend, revise the budget in any way, shape, or form because we haven't had a sufficient amount of input in which to do that. That's not just the chief financial officer. That would be myself and any division director, any direct report, and any area manager, program manager, supervisor, et cetera, within the budget itself. So we're doing our best to try to follow the Budget Management Control Law in order to provide input, in order to be responsive, and I believe that the CFO, the assistant CFO, and the treasurer are providing sufficient guidance to the rest of the organization in order to be able to do this. Thank you.
Relinda?
I would just like to add some clarity into the need for a continuing budget resolution. We have our financial statements are subject to Governmental Accounting Standards Board. The Governmental Accounting Standards Board requires an approved and adopted budget in order for your financial statements to be in good standing. So because we don't have an approved budget at this time, the way to handle that is through a continuing budget resolution, which allows expenditures until the budget is adopted by General Tribal Council. It also is necessary to protect our grant dollars, because some grants do require an approved budget in order to submit for reimbursement. I'd also like to the community input meetings that are referred to in the resolution were held, I believe, in November, and it was a budget showcase that was held at the Radisson. The intent of the budget showcase was for the community to provide input on the priorities of the different service groups and to help guide the strategic direction of the business units. Because this is our first year implementing the Budget Management Control Act and experiencing and setting up that type of meeting, we didn't quite get the input that we wanted. So it is delaying the budget a little bit in order to be able to comply with the Budget Management Control Act.
All right. Thank you, Relinda. Clarissa, did you have something to add for the statement of effect?
Yes. I believe The answer is already, or it's been answered, but I'd also like to highlight that the information that's included in the statement of effect was also garnered through a statement of effect that was written for BC Resolution 2218C, and it was at that time that it was identified that some of the timelines included in the Budget Management and Control Act would have to be extended so that the input could be garnered. So again, we knew that these timelines would be extended back in February, and then that kind of pushed back all the other timelines so that that input could be gathered from the community.
All right, thank you. Lisa?
I'd also like to add a couple more clarifications. One is that just one of the points that Mike raised that needs clarity is that the quality of life survey is not, it's a standalone issue item that the nation does every 3 years, I believe, in order to gauge progress on program services, other things that happen within the nation. The Quality of Life Committee is a subcommittee of the Business Committee that utilizes that information and many other pieces of information from other strategic plans to help make decisions with program directors to help garner different programs and service improvements. So one, while they're related, they're not connected. They're independent of one another. And so I think it's a false and misleading statement that, and then the other thing to just address is false, that's false and misleading, is that Quality in Life never brings forward reports, because that's not true. They're actually on this agenda when they're supposed to be. And if there might be a delay here and there, but that's with almost every report that can happen. So that does occur on a regular basis like it's supposed to. The other thing to keep in mind is that the whereases in a resolution are the history of what has already taken place. And the actual piece of information that we need to be, well, it's good to make sure that we're being accurate in the history. We need to make sure that we're focusing on the resolves, because that's the action that's going to be taking place based on the history and the steps that have already taken place to this point. So I just wanted to make sure that those things were clarified. And then with that, I will make a motion to adopt the BC resolution entitled Continuing Budget Resolution for Fiscal Year 2019.
Sir, seconded by Daniel. Discussion.
Excuse me, Chairman, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Two of my basic questions didn't get answered here. And while I thank finance and thank legal for their responses, two of my main questions, and Lisa did add some clarification there, but two of my main questions didn't get answered, and that's, when is the law, that budget management and control law, expected to come back to GTC for approval? And then secondly, for clarification, I wanted to thank finance, because I understand the need for a continuing resolution with respect to the budget, but the problem that I see with it is that this could become a whipping tool because of the fact that if GTC doesn't get that budget in September for our review and potential modification, delaying it until December or any time beyond that point, if GTC doesn't approve that budget, we start running into some serious problems here because of the fact that other things can then be added and deleted, and then we run into all of these complications. And then it's just going to be it's in furtherance of pushing that budget out. And I don't ever recall any meetings being set, community meetings being set down here from Milwaukee. So if I can get a list of that from Trish as to when and where these meetings were held, I greatly appreciate that.
Okay, so Mike, I guess we can only forward your questions on to Trish for their follow-up with the list of date and times of when meetings were held. I think that's what you're asking for in writing. Trish is not in attendance at today's meeting. And for your other question about the about the budget management control law coming to GTC for adoption, Joanne did state that the law was adopted under the laws of the nation, and that this does not require that to go to General Tribal Council. The only thing that would bring it to General Tribal Council, I guess, would be if a member were to petition to review that law in GTC.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Chairman.
Nancy, you have, or Relinda, I'm sorry.
There was one additional question that you had, Mr. DeBrasca, regarding the budget possibly being used as a whipping tool, I think you had indicated. The now therefore be it resolved reads, directs that the Oneida Nation shall operate at the fiscal year 2018 levels with only the wage increase implemented. Therefore, they would not be exceeding their fiscal year 2018 levels.
Well, if there's Mike,
your time has expired quite some time ago, so I have to move on to some other people for comments. Nancy and then Lisa.
I'm going to ask where the treasurer is today.
I believe
she's out on pre-approved time off.
Okay, and then I'm gonna also ask that the audience here today, that if you have a personal conversation that you care to have, that you go in the hallway or in the back of the room. Since these windows have been replaced and people talk in the back of the room, it interferes with the business that's going on here. So that's what I'm gonna ask for. Then my questions or my comments regarding this three-year budget is, the business committee prides itself on transparency and good governance and all of those things. But when the budget finally is approved, there are things that General Tribal Council has not been made aware of. And so, I call those cleverly hidden little line items in the budget. And so those are the things that I'm going to be looking for in the budget that GTC isn't aware of. Also, where my concern is that once the three-year budget is approved, in the language in all of this, is that the business committee can come back and modify and pass resolutions that, can defer or can do other things within this budget. And so those are my concerns. The other comment that I want to make regarding GTC's input with this budget is that I went to those budget showcase, whatever you want to call them, and at no time was anyone ever asked, what would you like to see in the budget? What would you like to be deleted in the budget? There were exhibition people who came with these kind of products that were showcasing what they're doing in their department and where they'd like to go. But at no time was anyone ever asked, I don't believe, because I attended three of them. And I was looking for the budget. I wanted the budget, the actual budget, and that wasn't available. So, going back to that transparency and good governance, what I'm also concerned about in this three-year budget is the capital improvement projects, and that those be listed out specifically. What is it that the business committee, the treasurer, is looking for to go forward? Because we've heard rumors in the community about what is on the forefront, and I think that General Tribal Council needs to be aware of what those projects are before we approve this budget. I also do agree with the Budget Management and Control Act that it needs to come before GTC. I guess for their knowledge, it's already been approved by this body, but I'm not sure how General Tribal Council will feel about a three-year budget. How unfortunate that we're not coming forward in October with a balanced budget, that it's being delayed, and yes, I understand there is a continuing resolution. Also, utilizing the quality of life survey. We've had talk about this in the last 3 or 4 years regarding the questions. Those questions, are about the trees and the trails and, environmental issues, and really looking at the measure. I met with Melissa Newthals regarding that survey on a couple different occasions, and, the questions I don't believe are accurately being asked of General Tribal Council. They're specifically geared towards certain divisions, and so how unfortunate. Also, the accuracy of those quality of life surveys, and I brought this up before, when you have a family of 13 people living in one home and there's only one survey per home, and you have possibly 3 or 4 adults with all kinds of children and extended family living in that home, that is not an accurate survey. I just have to say how disappointing that it is that we aren't bringing forward a balanced budget for GTC to approve when you were supposed to. And this, to me, is creating utter chaos.
Relinda?
I would like to respond to a few of the comments. This is not the first year that we are doing a three-year budget. We have been doing a three-year budget since I started in 2008. The process is the first year is an approved adopted budget, the second year is a projection, and the third year is a forecast. It helps the operations know where they're going. It helps plan. What is new this year is the triennial strategic plan, which is a three-year strategic plan. The budget was not available at the budget showcase because it was in November, and the numbers aren't available for gaming revenues in November. They use a rolling six-month projection, and in order to maximize the revenues available, we usually give them until middle March or April so that we get all of the cycles within the budget. Thank you.
Lisa?
I too just want to, you know, tag on a little bit more to what Relinda's talking about, because it is true. This is not the first time we've done three-year budgets. It's been going on for quite some time. And it is to make sure that we're planning from a fiscal perspective for a longer term, and we're doing those kinds of things. I view the show, I supported delaying the budget to be presented so that we could do what you've been asking. And Nancy, we talked to you about this the last time when you raised this question two meetings ago, or the last meeting. We explained we're in a transition year. We explained that we're trying to get the budget implemented. And we explained that we're actually trying to deliver on what you're actually asking for, which is, when do we have a chance to have input on the budget and provide direction about where we want to go as a nation? So, you know, for us to continue to have this conversation is very disappointing, like you said, and it is, because you continue to ask the question, we continue to answer it, so I'm glad there's always different people here, and maybe that's why we're getting the same question over and over again, which is fine, because the more opportunity that we have to educate people, the better. But the showcase really is about, you know, what did we approve in the budget? Are we doing what we said we were going to do? What do you want to see happen in the future, and how are we going to get there? And so for the tribal members to participate in those activities and provide their say and provide their input is extremely important. And we believed as a committee that because we're in a transition year with implementing this act, we didn't get enough information provided to us and to the organization about how that was going to roll out. So yes, it was a very conscientious, purposeful decision to say, let's delay for two more months so that we can get that input, so our directors know which way we want to go as a community, which way we're going as a nation, so they get that feedback. And so, you know, if you're going to continue to criticize that, then that's also disappointing, because we're doing exactly what you asked us to do. And that is transparency, that is accountability, and that is responsive, responsible government. And so, you know, I would appreciate that to be taken into consideration as we continue to move forward. You know, and I guess with that, I'm going to call for the question because, you know, I think we kind of are beating a dead horse at this point.
All right. Lisa's called for the question. So we're going to vote on the resolution entitled Continuing Budget Resolution Fiscal Year 2019. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Chairman, if I could just make
Belinda.
One more clarification, please. I apologize, I forget about the question about the CIP projects. The CIP projects are included in the executive summary. That's the detail packet. It has the project number, the project name, and the dollar amount. It's included in the budget presentation for General Tribal Council, which we now include in the packet. And I believe an update is provided in the Gully Wesex on a quarterly basis on what the status is for the CIP projects. So that's where you can find the information for that. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Question.
Kathy, you have 5 minutes.
Where is the budget? That's my main question. The other question is, I know I've been up here questioning the concept papers, and it's supposedly just a concept paper, but then you move forward with it. So I'm wondering if the guidelines are treated the same way you know, it's just something you're going to do when you want to do it. And then presto, it's going to come up and it's going to be there. And I want to know where the budget is so I can go and look at it. And one last thing is the quality of life survey. And I've been saying this for I don't know how many years coming up here repeatedly. And those surveys are mildly put incompetent. But you get 10 people or 29 people that return the mail in the mail, and that's your survey, and then you base your whole thing about how the tribe is run on those 29 surveyed. And I think that's incompetence. That's just
point of order. I would request the chairman to stop this line of discussion in regards to the competency or incompetency of this quality of life survey. That survey is a statistical machine. It is not intended to ask every member every question. It's intended to get an overview and an oversight, basically a pulse on what's going on. It is adequately conducted and constructed to make sure that it returns a sufficient number of responses in order to give a statistical impression of what's going on. It's not intended to show exactly what is going on. And I would request the chairman to cease this discussion.
All right. Thank you. I recognize the,
for the question,
point, of,
then.
Point of order. Relinda, could you answer the question of where... I know we're in the process of developing the budget, so there isn't one necessarily available, but...
Right. The budget is not available at this point. We have, as Larry indicated, there is a variance between sources and uses, a negative variance of $22.6 million, so we have to figure out what is going to be reduced in the budget in order to make our sources and uses equal. So until you have a balanced budget, you don't have... a budget. We can provide the preliminary roll-up that shows what our revenue sources are anticipated to be and what the operational expenses, the requests were, but it is not a finalized formal document yet because it does not balance.
Lisa?
But to be specific, though, about the current budget and the projections that were provided last fiscal year when it was adopted, that information is available.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to the next item, we have standing committees. Finance Committee approve August 1 meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Lisa, motion by Lisa, second by David. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have the Legislative Operating Committee to accept the July 18th LOC meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa Summers, seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is appointments. It's to review the recommendation, determine next steps regarding one police commission vacancy. And I'm recommending Michelle Dockstader to the police commission. Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to accept the chairperson's recommendation for the appointment of Michelle Dockstader to the Oneida Police Commission.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under appointments is to review the recommendation, determine next steps regarding one powwow committee vacancy, term ending February 29th, 2020. And I am recommending Trista Cornelius Henderson.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item under tabled business is to accept the United Nations School Board SOP entitled ONSS Contracted Employees Indirect Compensation, Unused Personal Leave and Vacation Time, formerly entitled ONSS Employee Indirect Compensation Trade Back for Cash.
Motion to take from the table, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by David, to take this item from the table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, so we have this item before us. Again. Daniel?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to accept as FYI.
Motion
second for
by,
discussion.
All right. Motion by Daniel, seconded by Lisa. Discussion. Lisa?
Can we just adjust the main motion a little bit to note that it's for review? Because I think we have to comply with it. We have to actually say that we reviewed it in order for them to approve it or for them to process it. So the motion actually needs to be for information noting that we have reviewed and accepted it.
That's okay.
And then I'll concur with that clarification.
Just clarify the motion that we are accepting as FYI after reviewing.
Okay, and seconder concurs?
Yes.
All right, that is the motion. Still open for discussion. Is there any, Lisa?
So I just wanted to say thank you for working on it, getting it straightened out, getting us the red line, and getting it all worked out for us so that we could very clearly see what's going to happen and what the intent is and everything like that. So I appreciate the effort.
Any further discussion? Daniel?
Yeah, I'd just like to second that and say thank you for the clarification. It was, a lot of misunderstanding, but we appreciate the clarification. And I just want to encourage the school board to continue doing your best to, serve the teachers and the students and doing what looking out for the best interests of the nation. So
thank you.
Yep. Any further questions or comments?
I have some questions on this.
Okay, Mike, you got 5 minutes.
Thank you. My first question is this. At 3.4, it talks about indirect compensation. And the trade back for cash program is kind of crossed out. Is that indirect compensation still considered the same thing as trade back for cash? Is it basically the same thing, just using different verbiage?
Go ahead.
Yes, it is. We are an autonomous entity with the tribe that we go by our MOA with the tribe, the GTC, and that is in our SOP that we all approved for certain amount of employees that get this back. It's not all of them. It's just a certain amount.
Is that going to be offered then tribal-wide? And that's something more along the lines for Geraldine or somebody else to answer, because if it's some, and I understand that, if it's for some, the question inevitably is going to arise, well, if they get, why aren't we? And is that going to be offered tribal-wide? Because that's going to be the next thing that's going to be broached, guaranteed.
Okay. Geraldine? What we had done was we brought forward the request for trade back for cash for FY19, and it was basically denied and said no. The tribal school runs under a different set of rules, and they don't get the same amount of time that we do. So there are some differences there. I believe that the teachers get personal time, but they don't get vacation time. So that's something that makes them a little bit more unique. So, yeah, there are some differences, and the employees are contracted versus the majority of the other employees are not.
Well, help me understand this here, because I only have the comparison of Milwaukee to go by. In Milwaukee, the teachers have the right to take a little bit more and have a little bit more deducted out of their paychecks each week so that when they're off during the summer, or if they elect not to teach, they're still collecting some form of benefit. Do we do that with our teachers here or no?
Our contracts are prorated, so they're federally funded. There's different grants that come in. So they have a 190-day contract, but because the salaries are prorated, they are paid throughout the summer. The people that are limited to those who have come to school, and we didn't have to pay for a sub, so we didn't have that double pay for them, Some of them had a little left over at the end of the year. Now, in order to go into the next contract, there's a cap which is consistent with the tribe at 280 hours. So that's where we're asking for the old year to be cleared out so we can get the new year started, which is in a couple weeks.
Okay, Mike, does that conclude your questions?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you. Debbie? You have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Just wanted to comment a little bit and hopefully add some clarification to one of Mike's questions, and that is that the time that the teachers have is based upon the time that they are in the classroom. We don't want them to use that time because we don't want to have to be able to hire subs and or have a classroom without an educator. So that's the principle behind when this process was initially started. So, and I am no longer a school board member. I'm here as a community member. So I want to clarify that.
All right. Thank you for the additional clarification, Debbie. Any further discussions or comments on the SOP? If not, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, you won't. Next up is travel reports. We have approved travel report for Councilman Kirby Metoxin for the 2018 Native American Tourism Wisconsin Conference in Hayward, June 10th through 13th. Motion by David. Is there a second? Okay. Second by Lisa Summers. Discussion? Is there any discussion on the travel report? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Motion carries. One abstention, Kirby. We have travel requests next. Enter EPOL results into the record in accordance with Oneida Business Committee Standard Operating Procedure entitled Conducting Electronic Voting. A1 is approved. Travel requests in accordance with 219.16-1 for Language House Department staff to the Great Law Recital, Niagara, New York, August 12th through the 20th. So looking for a motion to enter the results into the record.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Daniel, seconded by David. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose?
Opposed.
Abstentions? Motion carries 3-3 in support and 2 oppose. All right, moving on to the next item. New business determine distribution of 50 Indian 2018 Indian horse relay tickets. Lisa?
So basically, we received in 50 tickets for the 2018 Indian Horse Relay. They were received in the middle of last week, and our ticket distribution SOP requires the business committee to determine how the tickets are going to be distributed. So the options are in the SOP: random drawing, first come, first serve, or transfer to joint marketing.
All right, those are the three options for the
also
committee.
To note, the event is the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, so there does need to be a decision today about how to do it.
August?
Yeah.
I think probably typically the quickest way to get them distributed them is first come, first serve, but it's up to the committee. And David?
Yeah, seeing how it's going to be in Shakopee, Minnesota, I would make a motion to first come, first serve, just knowing that if someone would be picked by random, they may not be able to attend, which I would think maybe they would maybe go to waste. So that's my motion.
Second.
All right, motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion, Lisa?
I'm going to ask for the business committee to seriously consider having this transferred to joint marketing and then having our joint marketing partners distribute this for this particular event because of the location and who's the sponsor. As you all are aware from the report that we received yesterday, we are anticipating a new relationship with the tribe out there. And so for marketing to reciprocate by driving traffic that way, from a strategic perspective, I think would be more beneficial for us than having a random first come, first serve distribution for this particular event.
So I'll oppose the motion as is, just for those reasons.
Is there any consideration from the motioner and seconder to adjust the motion, or are you just good?
I could. I'm okay with that.
I'm all right.
So I just request the motioner and seconder to withdraw the motion and make a new motion.
So moved.
Seconder concur?
Yes.
All right, motion is withdrawn. Looking for someone to make a new motion with the recommendation from the secretary to transfer to joint marketing.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Next up is operational reports, and those start at 1:30. So at this time, that concludes our open session of the business committee meeting, so we can go back into exec. We have one item left to address.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby to go into exec at 9:45. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, good afternoon. It's 1:32. Need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Second. Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We now move on to the report section. We have operation report for the Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division, third quarter. Pat?
Thank you and good afternoon. So I'm just going to highlight a couple things on the report, and if you have any questions, by all means, then please ask them. Just the front page, I just kind of draw attention to it. We are doing a lot with the white corn this year, with starting with documenting every growth part of the season with a drone, and then also it started with a soil analysis with our soil crop consultant, and including with the June Hinkle staff doing a seed analysis of some of the stuff that we had failure. So we're looking at all the things, you know, to try to find out the yields of why they're happening the way they're happening. So from failure of the seed, from the soil prep, maybe it did come up part way and it didn't come up all the way. Was it because the seed was too deep and stuff like that? And analyzing the equipment. So that's just one of the things that we're doing out there, using the drone to really kind of zero in on some of the things that are happening throughout the season. So as you go into the report, this is our big part of the season when we do a lot of community interactions and a lot of outreach, you know, from the June Hinkle Oneida Cultural Days down through the plant distribution to the Three Sisters and tobacco planting. We've had well-attended sessions. We also had provided hazardous awareness training with staff, Oneida Nation staffs, and also underground storage. So, you know, through this first part, it really talks about a lot of interaction, outreach, and training with either the community or the staff itself with our teams. And then we also brought in experts such as BIA. Another area, just, you know, I think I might have reported this out at one of our updates, but the soiler deployment is in 100% operational. And it looks like this fall we will be doing kind of a ribbon cutting grand opening where we're going to invite the Department of Energy here to work with us to actually have a nice presentation of the success of that project. So everyone be invited to that. I think another thing I wanted to kind of draw attention to is we were able to work with four youth this year in a couple different programs, one from the internship program and then the high school internship program, and also the JTPA program. So the students this year have just been phenomenal. Certainly it's up to us to create an experience for them, but they've been just really super hardworking. And our teams just wanted to kind of pass that on to you, that we're in pretty good hands in the future with these young folks and the things that they've been able to help us out with. So very appreciative to be able to work with the youth. As I kind of move on to the page 100 of the 633 pages, It looks like we're continuing with the hip program. We had 4 hips close this quarter. We're up to 37 hips now, and it continues to be a growing program. We have 4 more, 4 to this quarter for sure, and then we have 18 more that are pre-approved. So I think we're averaging about 20 new homes that we're putting tribal members in. So that program continues to be successful. And I think one of the other things I wanted to kind of point out is that we did, again, have the first down for trees, again, with the Green Bay Packers. So that's been a really nice outreach with the high school community and with the Packers. The last thing is maybe just, you know, one of our staff did get some recognition. Officer Conservation Warden Terry Matoxin did qualify for the regional national shoot team, and their team did take first place this year. So it's pretty good accomplishment. So with that, if you had any questions.
Lisa?
I just want to say that you guys continue to improve the layout of the report and what's actually in it. And I want to, first of all, thank you for that and say how much I appreciate it, because it's really hitting it. Even though we haven't given specific direction, you've heard our feedback from the way that the report looks, and you're getting all of those things to align to what we've been asking for, is figuring it out. So there's one more ask I'll make of you at this point.
Okay.
For the one where you you are talking about the acquisitions that happened in the quarter.
Yes.
And I believe that's on our page 100.
Yep.
Really appreciate those are going in there now, and we're getting more consistency on how that looks. And I know that you have on the last column, you have use, which is either the HIP program and residential, agriculture, things like that. But one of the things that I think I just want to make sure that's clear for everybody, because this is the question that we keep getting, is how do these acquisitions align with our overall goal and strategy? So if our goal in the fiscal year is to acquire, you know, 100 acres of agricultural land in the fiscal year, then we know that the acquisition of 22.9 acres goes towards that goal. That's the only thing that I can see in here yet that I still think that, because it's very clear in the previous pages how what you're accomplishing meets with the strategic direction or the broad goals.
Okay.
So this would be the one where I would say, let's push a little bit more to get to that transparency part of, yep, we're doing residential, here's ag, here's the HIP, but what goal does it meet? So if we can just get that, yep, in there somehow, that would be great.
So I think we probably have 3 things that we work on. One is the GTC latest resolution.
Right.
Then, yep, we have the 2033 plan, and, yep, then we have the Land Commission's, yes, strategy. So, yep, we'll get that in the report.
Yep, but great job overall. Thank you.
So you can conclude your questions, Lisa? Yes. All right, any other questions? Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
Hi, Pat.
Hi.
I just have a question regarding the tree removal, and I understand that there's been a new person hired, a forester.
Yes.
And the letter that I reviewed a while back said that they were reviewing the standard operating procedures and all of those kind of technical things that needed to happen. And so I'm wondering where that is at, because there are trees where requests have been put in for over a year and that have not been removed. And those are safety health issues for elders.
Right.
And so I'm looking at where that is and what's going to happen with it, because this is August now, and if that SOP hasn't been written, when will it be finished, and when will those elders be contacted regarding those tree removals?
Yeah, we're still moving forward with the priority that we try to take the most hazardous trees first. Some of those trees that kind of slow us down are the ones that we cannot handle internally because they're too big for our equipment, or they might be a safety issue around electrical and stuff, so we do hire somebody in. So, you know, we have so much funds budgeted for that, so we have been recouping some of those costs depending on where they were coming from. But maybe it was housing authority or land, then we would get those recouped. But so they're working on the SOPs, but they're also still working on the old one where they're still removing the most hazardous ones, but some of them might be too big for our staff, so those get moved into the contractor, and then they get reprioritized around the most hazardous one also. In the meantime, we did the assessment. She finished the assessment working with our forestry and trail folks. If we had bigger equipment, would we be able to do that? One of the things that we have been noticing is that that's a rising service need within our community, and it might just be because, you know, as the elder department population continues to grow, that we just get more of these requests. So we're actually then working with GSD and elder services around eligibility, around, you know, first whose is the targeted population for that. Because ours is 55 and older, but is that the is that consistent with the rest of the tribe? So we're kind of also working on that. So we put in, we're putting in for CapEx expenditure to go with a bigger equipment. And once we get that, we should be able to do more of that that's on the waiting list. And the reason why we sent that letter out is because, like you said, some of those were older requests, and we just wanted to keep people updated. Hey, we have your request. But we are trying to take the most hazardous trees first, and then just working down the line with those two areas that do that work. And we are getting more trees. The storm systems have been quite drastic these past 3 years. So anytime a storm system comes in, we get more requests. So is one. And then also we've had some other issues around specific areas, around disease, that's also contributing to that. So the new forester is kind of looking at all those things and getting that into the SOP. So she's redrafted it quite a few times and trying to bring in other divisions to kind of help us out with that.
Can you give me a timeline as to when someone can expect, you know, if a tree's been requested to be cut down?
I can't today, but very soon I could. So I could let you know when that might happen. Because it's actually a team that's working on it. And then once they had figured all that information out, then there will be a new ranking. And we should be able to let those people know when we're going to be able to get to them.
Okay, you talked about elder services being involved in there, because I've been involved with a family who is very concerned about a tree falling on their house. And this last storm this past week, part of it did fall down. Fortunately, it didn't hit the house. But if there is, you know, a substantial amount of snow this winter or another storm, I'm aware that there is another family who contacted Elder Services. And I'm not sure if there's two separate entities, if Elder Services has money in their budget to contract out, or what the process is, or if that's only something that you do and they would coordinate with your department.
As for now, that's all we know of, is that they would coordinate with our department. So,
okay.
So you could send me that list, and I can make sure that that person's tree's definitely been analyzed.
Yeah,
and then
it
get
is
that
on
in
the list, but I guess the concern is when.
Okay.
You know, and SOPs, to write SOPs, how long is that going to take, and prioritize it,
right,
and all of that.
But we didn't stop with the past priority, so we're continuing to cut trees all the time. So.
Okay.
Okay, Nancy, your time has expired.
Oh, come on. I have another question, and I think it's important. I'm going to ask for some more time, please.
So a committee, she's requesting additional time. It's up to the committee if they want to make a motion to give her some extra minutes. Ernie?
I'll support the motion, just with a suggestion, Nancy, that you know, I know other members have done this, where they lay out their questions firsthand, and then they take the time to ask the questions and get them out there, and then whatever time is needed is answered. So at least you get the questions, and if it's 7 minutes of discussing it, at least you took your time to get the answers. So just a suggestion, if you can do it that way in the future, it'd be helpful.
How many additional minutes you want to grant in your motion?
Would two be good?
Couple minutes, I guess.
Just to ask the question.
All right. Ernie's motion to grant two additional minutes, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? One opposed. Motion carries. You have two additional minutes.
Thank you. The other issue that I want to talk about is the recycling. And there was an article, and I discussed this with you. Normally, I will go to the entity or the person that I have an issue with ahead of time in order to avoid these conversations. And I did. I spoke to Pat regarding an article in the Gully Weesox that was offensive regarding recycling and people illegally dumping their garbage on this reservation, and an employee insinuating that it was our tribal members. And we don't know that. and also the comments regarding instead of buying cigarettes, coffee, and beer, that you should go and buy a permit to dump your garbage. And so I found that offensive. And in all of this recycling issue, what I found out on two separate occasions, one is at the VFW on Riverdale and one is at our child care, that the recycling was a big thing back in the day, and it's kind of like been pushed to the side where our custodial might be sorting it, but once it goes out the door, it's all considered garbage. There are no recycling bins at the VFW, and so I think it's something that needs to come back, that, you know, we care about that. We recycle, I do, and that needs to come back to the forefront. Try to teach our kids, you know, rinse everything out and throw it in, you know, the proper bin, and when it's not happening at another level, then how unfortunate. Let's see. I'm about the Department of Energy and the solar. When they come, I hope that you'll let other tribal members and everybody else know about that, because that was a big thing. And then on page 99, where it says Oneida and the Bayport High School students came out for Silver Creek. And, you know, I'm not against any kids coming out and doing anything, but how were our kids? That's on page 99.
It was Oneida and Bayport. They came out. There was both school systems.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then for that article, that wasn't an article we wrote. It was an interview. So I did talk to the supervisor to make sure that was viewed inappropriate through a complaint. So he is addressing that with the staff person. So,
David.
Make a motion to accept the third quarter Environmental Health and Safety Land Division report.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Support. Motion by David, seconded by Daniel. Discussion. Just one quick thing, too. I did, as it relates to garbage and recycling, a couple of tribal members kind of complained about some of the, and it's probably you, and I'll have to bring it up with comprehensive housing as well, but like in particular with site two, there's a lot of large items that we normally, I guess, would get during clean sweep, but we went to a different model. And so we just need to make sure that we're having communication as to what the process is for getting rid of large items like mattresses and furniture. I guess the complaint was, I didn't drive through and look yet, but the complaint was that there's like mattresses and stuff, and kids are playing in essentially the garbage because there's no pickup. So I know there is a process you call the waste disposal and kind of schedule for a large item pickup, but I don't know if the community at large is aware of the process or the program. And then I know we normally do a clean sweep spring and fall, so what is the plan for this fall too, I guess, as
yep.
well?
So I'll bring this, both of those, the VFW child care and the sites, I'll bring that to the team.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? There's a motion on David.
Is there any more follow-up with the town of Oneida at all? How are things going with that agreement that we have with them?
That's more in the BC's court right now, so we would have to, we're waiting for the team to pull us back together to talk team to team then, so we're ready.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, they're in the process of working and pulling that group back together for both Oneida and town of Oneida.
Okay.
It's in the works.
All right, thanks.
Anything else? All right, there's a motion on the table by David, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the Comprehensive Housing Division, fiscal year 2018, third quarter report.
Good afternoon. Some highlights on the report. The residential development area has completed townhouse 3 and 4. These took place in June and also in July. We had the groundbreaking ceremony for the cottages that was held on July 30th. That's for the expansion of Elder Village, with an expansion of 8 cottages. 2 of those cottages are anticipated to be completed by November, with the remaining 6 cottages to be enclosed by December so that work can continue throughout the winter. In our maintenance area, we're operating at a 94% occupancy rate. There were 16 move-outs and 17 move-ins in the third quarter. For the rehabilitation program, they completed the residential sale unit of 2418 Ironwood, which was also sold in this past quarter. They're continuing to work on 2534 Laredo Lane, which is a residential stay home, and that will be shown in September. Also as a part of that program, they also are working on 7181 Path of the Bear. Anticipated move-in will be November of 2018. The remaining items that they are continuing to work on right now is plumbing and HVAC. The rehabilitation department also performed 62 annual inspections, and our current waiting list consists of 129 applicants.
Dana, on that specific one, do you have a more detailed breakout of home sizes that are most requested, like 2, 3, 4, or even, you know, 5, 4 or more bedroom homes, just so you have just a basic idea in the future if you don't have that right now?
And the most on our waiting list are for 1 and 2 bedrooms and also 3 and 4 bedrooms for the families. Okay. Home ownership. And then the rental revenue. We had an estimate of the rental revenue received from the GTC meetings, and this would be from the May 12th and the June 18th meeting. The estimated amount that was paid on rent was about $3,010. The residential sale program has 390 loans with a receivable balance of $24 million. And with our residential leases, we currently have 721 residential leases.
All right. Does the committee have any questions or comments? All right. We'll go to Nancy. You got 5 minutes.
Okay. Page 116 on the bottom, it says concerning tenant matters. And it's talking about the issues of people being their lease agreements being terminated and what the issues are regarding all of that. And I don't recall ever seeing a report regarding how many people are being terminated, per quarter, so that we can look at how many people are being evicted every year and then what are the circumstances. And those circumstances, of course, are unpaid utilities and unpaid rent. And then it says, addressing the social concerns. And what are those concerns? So that's the kind of information that, I'm looking for. Because when we're, providing housing for low-income people and then we're evicting them, there's a bigger story and a bigger picture. The houses that I want to talk about are the one house is on Riverdale Drive. And I'm just going to say the name of who it belonged to. That was Virginia Swamp and Mike Peltier's house. And that house has been empty for many years. And I know that you inherited all of that recently. But that's not the only one.
I don't think that one was transferred.
That one's still
at land management.
Yeah. It's not under land management. Where is it then?
No, it's under land management. It's not under comprehensive housing.
That one was one of the few that wasn't transferred.
Okay, so I missed. Pat's gone, so I guess I'm asking the wrong person. The other house is, I'm not sure if it's on Path of the Bear, Wolf Turtle, whatever road it's called, but some people are calling it the Stairway to Heaven, and it's the house that's 3 stories tall. And, I don't know all the issues because you never could get a straight answer out of Dale Wheelock when he was up here, and even when I followed him out in the back of the room and went down to his office. So I'm looking at a report regarding that whole situation, because there were he came up here and asked for additional money because the structure, the blueprints or something happened, and you could never get a straight story out of him. So I'm looking, when is that house going to be occupied?
That's kind of what I was speaking to earlier, but it'll be November of 2018, so it'll be in the next 3 months. And the remaining issues that are outstanding right now, it's not so much the rehabilitation work by our guys, but it's the plumbing and HVAC. They're going in there. There's a lot of plumbing issues, so those are being corrected right now.
Okay, so I don't understand what happened there. You know, if HUD is in charge of that property and them building that home and something happened, we need to know what happened in order to prevent that from happening.
HUD wasn't in charge of building that home. That was a residential lease. It was an old home ownership home that burned down. Right. And then the lessee, who still had the lease to the property, started rebuilding that home and ran out of funds, essentially. And so end up selling that property, the 70%, 60-70% completed home to OHA. And so they were in the process of completing that home and fixing some of the deficiencies that were noted in the, I think, the part of the process of getting a home inspection.
Wow. Okay. That's seriously, I don't know. That sounds like a big mess, you know. It just really does, and an expensive one at that. So are the people who sold it are going to be allowed to move back in there, or is it?
They weren't in any program. They were just a lessee.
Yeah, so are they going to get that house when it's built where the fire was?
No, it'll go into the income-based program.
Okay, and how many bedrooms is that house?
I believe that's a four-bedroom.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions from the committee? David?
Motion to accept the third quarter report. Comprehensive Housing Division.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Lisa to accept the report. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is we have the Human Resource Department Fiscal Year 18 Third Quarter Report. Geraldine and her team.
For Human Resources budgets, we are staying well within our allocated funds for tribal contribution in all of our programs, and of course the workforce development program will be ending on September 30th. The employee incentive and testing budget is used to recognize the years of service, which we did this morning. And then the student intern college graduate program currently has three positions that will be finishing up this year. There's five that are finishing this year and three will be finishing up in another year. Full-time equivalencies. We've been maintaining a pretty steady level as far as the full-time equivalents. You can see from the purple line, it hasn't done any spikes or any dips in there, so it's been staying pretty steady. One of the things that we're probably going to struggle with, and I put a little statement in here about the United States unemployment is at 4%. It's moving very little. They added roughly 275,000 jobs in the United States last year, and they added another 75,000 this month. It might even be more than that. They're still forecasting that we're going to still struggle all the businesses to fill all of their positions. Employee vacation and personal time. The amount of payout at this time has jumped up by 100,000. The number of employees that are at max has decreased by one. And of course, let's see. I'll turn it over to Nick to do his.
All right, so if I can draw your attention to the graph on the HRD training and development page. I'm not sure which page that is in your report. Just a couple of things of note. You'll notice the blue bar graph there. You'll see that is trending downward. That is because the first two quarters represented in the graph are when we had the mandatory organization-wide training last year. So we're kind of returning back to normal numbers within that for the employee training. You'll also notice that the supervisor training is trending upward, and that is due primarily to Academy. So a lot of those courses that we're offering through Academy are considered supervisor leadership development courses, and we're having some pretty good participation rates and turnout with that. We're seeing some good results. We're getting towards the end of our pilot year for Academy, and we're starting to amass that feedback and do some surveys and get the results of that and find out exactly what the impact was of that. So we're looking forward to being able to report on that when we do our next quarterly report. And then down on the bottom half of that page, the EAP services, a couple of things of note there. You'll see that some of the bar graphs are trending downward. We're seeing a little bit of a spike of utilization in the first two quarters on the graph, and that's kind of coming back down to normal as well. EAP does a fall and wintertime focus on book clubs, so their training is kind of winding down from the last couple of months. And their client utilization and overall the amount of hours they're spending with each client has trended downward. So that's overall a good sign for the organization. And then you'll notice that they had one DAFWP return to work agreement for a first violation, no second violations in the last quarter. Any questions?
Okay. First of all, thank you for your work in the training development area and what you're doing with Academy. Definitely some excellent training that's going on there. My question is, do you have to renew those the fees every year for the Franklin Covey passes? Is that a yearly?
Yeah, that is an annual agreement with them. So this year was the pilot year, first year we've taken, advantage of the all-access pass is what that's called. And so our term with them, the contract, will end, I believe it's in mid-September. So that's coming up soon. And once that ends, then we lose access to that content that's online. Of course, any of the materials that the participants walked away with, they get to keep that. But so we will need to renew that for the second round. Yep.
Lisa? Just a couple of follow-up things. I think these are just typos, but on page one of the report, back where you started with employee incentive and testing, in the last sentence of that line, or the last line of that sentence, it says 35 blankets for years of service and zero, and that says two in parentheses blankets for retirement with 25 or more years of service. So I just wanted to make sure I'm understanding that correctly.
It's two.
It
is
zero.
Two, yes.
Okay. And then the other, just probably a thing to note as well, on page two under full-time equivalents, just another probably typo where it says October, where you have your 4 months listed, your four quarters.
Yes.
It says 2017, but there's an N in the middle of that, so I don't know if that's meant to be variable or if that's meant to be a 2017.
That's a typo.
Okay. And then I just have a general question about the numbers for the number of employees, because, again, you know, we keep getting kind of – we get the numbers from you every week, and we know that we passed a resolution that says we're capping divisions at certain numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody staying at their cap where they need to be?
Yes.
Okay. That's – what I need to know. Thank you.
Josh has a short update.
Right.
Sorry.
That's all right. I'll be quick. So for the benefits area, I'll just highlight some of the upcoming items because we're starting to gear up for a lot of our year-end activities. We're going to have the healthcare open enrollment in October. We have some compliance pieces with the Affordable Care Act coming up too towards the end of the year. Plus, we start to do some other items like the flex spending. We're working with risk management and finance on having some insurance meetings coming up. They are mandatory insurance meetings for those on the health plan. And then we do have a number of, you know, stats listed in our area. If you guys have any suggestions on what you'd like to see in there, you know, please let me know. You know, we're open to reporting out on various things if there's something there that maybe you're interested in learning or needing to know. So. Thank you.
David?
Geraldine, whereabouts are you with the staffing levels?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
The staffing levels across the board? Where are you with that project? I got a report saying that you guys are almost 75% complete.
We were with the workforce levels. The only one that we had left to do when Mary Ann was still here was the health center. So they should all be done, the workforce levels.
Okay. What are the results of some of those? I mean, are they overstaffed, understaffed?
Well, those assessments still need to be done to determine if they are under or over. Right now, what we did was, how many positions do you have budgeted? What is the breakdown of the full-time, half-time, part-time, the number of hours, so that when you want to hire 10 custodial but you only have 5 vacancies left, those are the numbers that we monitor.
And it will also have the equivalency of how many employees are under a supervisor as well?
Yes. Yes, I do that as well.
That was one of the things I was concerned about when I brought it to your attention earlier. So,
yes. That still tends to be a struggle with some areas when they come in to try to make changes in the area. The one area had a manager, it had a supervisor and 2 employees, and I said something needs to change here. So then they said, well, we won't make any changes at all, if that's easier. So I think that somewhere it needs to come out in the form of a directive in order to get that done, because I can tell people I'm not going to approve it at what you're at. I need it to change to, I don't care what you call it, but you're not calling it a supervisor. That there are not enough employees in that department to justify that many supervisors.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
On page 125, at the bottom of under all supervisors by age group, it's talking about the succession planning. And it says succession planning is needed to ensure the critical positions will have a replacement. And I don't see the succession plan in this packet, so I don't know how that goes, but I'll wait until after, if you could, because I'll use up my 5 minutes.
Okay.
The other part that I wanted to see in these reports is the number of exempt employees, because I always ask you that, because I've made the comment that we have over 600 exempt employees, and so that means that there are a number of people who, no matter how many hours they work, they're still paid for 40 hours. If you work 14 hours, if you work 18 hours, you are still paid for 40 hours, and so that is a serious issue, because there are people who haven't worked 40 hours in a long time. Let's see, I had one more thing. I have to find it. I want to talk about how and who is keeping track of the salary, benefit, and incentive package, because I go up to random employees and random family members, and I ask them and tell them, I don't want to be in your financial business. I don't need to know all that, but what did you get? And so there are currently employees who have not received a dime. Now, I haven't received a gift card, been taken to the movies, got a coffee cup or a candy bar, or financial monetary compensation. And, you know, I gave my own personal view on this whole thing, how inequitable it was, and that you're supposed to be raising the employee morale and creating an environment, and that did not happen. And so we have an issue coming forward to GTC regarding a raise at the end of August, and so I'd like to know who's keeping track of who gets what and when, and what happens to the people who didn't get anything. And I'm talking about the people who work for printing and our mail center and under internal services, and how unfortunate that those people are aware that other people got and they didn't, and what's the measure. and who is held accountable and responsible for not making sure that their employees are compensated and appreciated. So those are my questions and comments.
Okay. I'll jump on the incentive one right away. The numbers that I ran this last week is that we have, up through June 30th, we had 2,521 incentives issued. There were 1,082 for immediate and 1,439 for long-term. Yes, there are some areas that are not taking care of this responsibility, and what I can do is send that report. I can give you guys a copy of this report so you can see who has issued incentives to this point. I know there are some areas that are lacking. You know, their managers in their chain of command need to be responsible for those to get done. But I do have the numbers, and I am monitoring. Succession planning was the other thing that you asked about. What we're doing is we're allowing the areas, when they get a confirmed resignation from an individual, how long do they need somebody to train with them once the job is posted and filled? We just recently did this with the self-governance. He planned on retiring, so we posted the job, and we had overlap for a few months. And once that employee retires, committed to that retirement date, then it's basically over. But that's why we're doing a lot of the academy as well, is to get people prepared to you know, jump in those roles when they become available.
Then the other question was on the number of exempt employees.
Yeah, we will add that to the report that will be Josh's reports that he'll be doing for the next quarter.
David?
Yeah, and I would be all in favor of you sending that report to us to find out who is complying with the incentive program and who is not.
I have hard copies right now.
You can send it to the business committee.
Okay.
Can I get one?
You want to take a look at it?
That's a no. Personnel related issues. I'll make a motion.
Or you can have a copy of it. It's too detailed.
Make a motion to
Right, the way that it is, but if she revises it in a way that takes out the personally identifiable information, it's just the data, then we can release it. So that's what she'll do.
All right, David.
I'll make a motion to accept the third quarter report Human Resources Department.
Say it.
Do you want to make a motion?
A motion by David, seconded by Daniel to accept the report. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is the Retail Enterprise Fiscal Year 18 Third Quarter Report. Michelle.
Good afternoon.
Hey there. So to start with, we have the profit and loss statement through the year to date through quarter three. You can see from the FY18 actual to the budget and then compared to 17, same time frame. Our net profit year to date is $4.5 million. Our budget was $5.7 and our actual last year was $5.2. Some of the areas that are behind budget, we'll go further into the report, are our cigarette sales, cost of goods, and expenses and payroll. Payroll's a little bit higher due to the increase that was provided to all employees. But our operational expenses have been, we're holding the line on those. I provided the information on gross profit year to date by location. You can see that Westwind is still our number one store. Later on in the report, you'll see that Oneida Four Paths is having some impact on fuel sales, which will help when we go to look for additional, when we look at who we're going to be next year when the RFP is up for the ExxonMobil contract. We have the year-to-date sales by category. You can see cigarettes are pretty even year over year. We've recently made some changes to our cigarette pricing and profit per carton by changing the pack premium to be more competitive with our major competitor, which is Quick Trip. In the past, it's been asked about the alcohol sales, so that's provided to you as in the sales, the cost of goods, and then the gross profit on that small category. It's part of the convenience category, and it's a small part of the convenience, but it is an important kind of showcase to see where we're at. So the one thing that's interesting on the alcohol is Four Paths is only 2/4. The rest of the stores are 3/4 of information. And Four Paths is our numbers, 2 store and alcohol sales. But had they had the full first quarter, they would have been our number one store in the alcohol category. The other interesting note is E&EE is the only store that does not have a walk-in beer vault, and they are 3rd in sales. Granted, there's nothing else out by E&EE, so the customers have a little opportunity to shop a competitor. Year-to-date carton sales by location are highlighted, with Westwind being our number one store for cigarette sales. We're gathering some information on the vape and e-cigarettes. We do sell them in the stores. It's a small part of the sales, but it's in a different category. It's in smokeless tobacco, and it's buried within one of the other categories, so we're pulling that information out. And I apologize for not having that today. Four Paths is acting more like a convenience store. You can see by the cigarette sales, it's a typical convenience store. Actually, they're doing a little bit better, because the typical convenience store would sell about 106 cartons a week, and Four Paths is averaging about 248, which is higher than a normal convenience store, but much less than our Oneida One Stops. You had asked about the import tobacco sales. It's a small category within tobacco. The import tobacco is sold only at the Isabel Smoke Shop and the Casino Smoke Shop. It's a very small category with a gross profit of about $4,000. The average gallons per week. The National Association of Convenience Stores reports that the average gallons per week across the country is about 30,000 gallons. Larson and Four Paths exceed the national average, with the rest of the stores not quite hitting the mark, but some good fuel sales. And really, the fuel sales are based on the location where they're at and how many other, where they're located. It's always about location. You had asked about gas tax gallons compared to the total gallons by location. The comparison, the best one would be to look at would be Highway 54, which is our centrally located store. Of all the gallons sold, 337,450, 210, I can never get those numbers right, 210,508 gallons were sold gas tax exempt. And then we break that down further between on and off reservation, with a majority of the gas tax exempt sold to members who live on the reservation. We've had a number of disciplinary actions in the last quarter, mainly due to attendance, work performance, and personal actions, some suspensions for attendance and personal actions, and 2 terminations for attendance. And those were people who didn't return to work or chose to abandon their position. The retail employees' years of service, you can see that we have 75 employees who have been with us less than 3 years. That's always a concern, because we're spending a lot of money training, bringing in people, new uniforms. So we're working on trying to decrease that entry-level employee who seems to come and go rather quickly, and keep them a little bit longer. Internal security reports. Violations included cell phone, no badge, uniform. Inappropriate behavior. The inappropriate behavior was the at one of the stores they were playing basketball behind the counter, which was the incident report, which also follows the disciplinary actions. Some of the stores are really, when we first started with the outside security, viewing all the video for the stores, we had a lot of incident reports. That number has been reduced substantially over the last year. And most of those violations were due to cell phone use and no badge. We still have some issues with cell phones behind the counter, but it's not the daily, every shift, every employee having a cell phone behind the counter. There were some general operation updates. We're still looking at, we're having some issues at Travel Center with water in one of the sumps. It's not water in a tank, it's water in a sump. That is an ongoing issue, and it happens when the when we have a lot of rain. It's protected, it's a double-walled containment for that purpose exactly, so that the water does not go into the tank, it goes into the sump, it protects everything else. So I know that sounds scary, and it could be if we weren't on top of it. We do have a CIP request in for a CapEx request in for 2019 for the repairs needed for that location. The water table's rather high at the Travel Center, so we'll be looking at different options for that. We are working closely with our environmental department.
Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to accept the Oneida Retail Enterprise FY18 third quarter report.
Motion by Lisa, second by David. Discussion? The committee have any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Go through exact motions, and then this is the last one. And it's at 250. So if we do these motions, it'll kill some time.
All right, so we got time right now. We can take some of the executive session actions. Just accept the discussion as information. All right, so from our executive session notes, first on the agenda is to accept the Environmental Health and Safety and Land Division third quarter executive report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by David. And no discussion exec, so all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. The next item is to accept the comprehensive housing fiscal year 2018 third quarter executive report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. The next item is to accept the Human Resource Department fiscal year 18 third quarter executive report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The fourth item is to accept the Retail Enterprise Fiscal Year 2018 Third Quarter Executive Report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to accept the Oneida Gulf Enterprise Corporation 2018 third quarter executive report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ernie, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The sixth item is to accept the chief counsel report.
So moved.
Second.
Dated August 7th, 2018. Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, 2A, is to accept the Thornberry Creek LPJ Classic 2018 report. Anybody make a motion? Daniel, you make a motion?
Motion to accept Oneida Gulf Enterprise Corporation, Ladies Professional Golf Association report on August 7th.
Second.
Motion by Daniel, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
David abstains. Motion carries. Audit Committee, they accept the June 14th, 2018 Audit Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to accept the Business Committee credit card activity operational audit and lift confidentiality requirement. The suggested motion is to accept the Business Committee credit card activity operational audit and lift confidential requirement, allowing tribal members to view the audit.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second? Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There's a subsequent request to motion to request the audit committee to complete the appropriate next steps regarding the recovery of the personal expenditures, noting that the updates will be brought back as needed via chief counsel report.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to accept the Judiciary Appellate and Trial Court Performance Assurance Audit and Lift Confidentiality Requirement. The suggested motion is to defer the Judiciary Appellate and Trial Court Performance Assurance Audits to the August 22nd Regular Business Committee meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The Judiciary Family Court Performance Assurance Audit, motion to defer the Judiciary Family Court Performance Assurance Audit to the August 22nd, 2018 Regular Business Committee meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Unfinished business complaint 1A, except the 45-day update was deferred from the last meeting. The suggested motion is to accept the 45 update regarding the complaint number 2018-DR11-02.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to accept the written report and determine next steps. The suggested motions, accept the written report, approve recommended actions, and direct the Oneida Business Committee officers follow through with employee regarding complaint 2018-DR11-02.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is complaint number 2018-DR04-01. Accept the written report and determine next steps. The motion suggested motion is accept the written report, approve recommended actions, and direct that the business committee officers follow up with the employee regarding complaint 2018-DR-0401.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to review applications for vacancies for the police commission. The suggested motion is to accept the discussion regarding the applications for 1-19 police commission vacancy as information.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to adopt resolution titled regarding pardon of Jocelyn Skenador. The suggested motion is to adopt the resolution entitled regarding pardon of Jocelyn Skenador.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. New business, approve limited waiver of sovereign immunity for Apentricity Corporation SAS subscription license agreement file 2018-0562. The suggested motion is approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the Apentricity Corporation SAAS subscription lease agreement file 2018-0562.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Second by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, file number ED18-002, approve three actions. Those, well, there's two actions. Suggested motion to accept the final report regarding file ED18-002.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Subsequent motion to accept the recommendations included in the memorandum from the Economic Development Division Director dated...
It's yesterday, August 7th.
August 7th, 2018.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa. Seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to approve an attorney contract or attorney contract and limited waiver sovereign immunity for Adris Intellectual Property Law LLP, file number 2018-0942. Suggested motion to approve the attorney contract and a limited waiver sovereign immunity for Adris Intellectual Property Law LLP, file number 2018-0942.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to approve employment contract for DR 10, file number 2018-0958. The suggested motion is to approve employment contract for DR 10, file number 2018-0958.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Lisa. Motion carries. The next item is to review applications for 1 powwow committee vacancy term ending February 29, 2020. The suggested motion is to accept the discussion regarding the applications for 1 powwow committee vacancy as information.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a community complaint slash concern number 2018-CC-02. Review and determine next steps. The suggested motion is to forward community complaint concern 2018-CC-02 to the Governmental Services Division Director for follow-up.
So
motion by Kirby. Is there a second? Daniel seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
I'm going to make a subsequent motion that this item also be forwarded to the Finance Committee for a summary of what led up to this person receiving their funds, and that that summary be provided to the Governmental Services Division Director to be used in their report on the investigation.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is review draft Oneida Business Committee fiscal year 2019 budget and make appropriate adjustments. The suggested motion is to approve the discussion regarding the Oneida Business Committee fiscal year 2019 budget as information.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
We still haven't received the updated
memo yet
for this one, so if we can...
Did you want to take the...
We can...
The discussion?
Yep.
And then we'll wait for the memo. So the suggested motion is to approve the discussion regarding the Oneida Business Committee fiscal year 2019 budget as information.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And we are still waiting for the memorandum of the discussion. So we'll...
Got it.
Oh, got it. It's in...
It must have just came in.
Got a 208.
Yours ain't updating yet?
I don't have anything from 208. Can you check and see if... Can you just forward it to... Did it go to everybody?
Yeah. It
you, were, well. you were not included, Lisa.
Actually, it did not go to...
Yeah, I got
Lisa.
It.
Did you forward it?
Well,
to
that's
me?
Why I don't have it.
I'll forward it. Went to David. I'll forward it on to you.
That's I think you were the only one left.
That's the only one that wasn't there. Oh, it's because you said you're out of office. Automatic reply.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you still get the stuff that comes through.
It's on its way.
Just in case, I'll send it to you.
Does the memo look correct?
Checking it right now.
I think the memo from a action perspective is correct. I think we just need to note that we have to refer to the executive session notes because there's more dialogue that goes with each of the items, even though the way that they're framed out is accurate. It's like there's more to it than that. But
could we approve this and then have a second memo for our executive session follow-ups? Or is this...
Our executive session notes covers the detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, there's only one motion in the memo. The motion before us is to accept the memorandum, which is this, not each one individually.
Okay. So what was your specific question about that?
I think we can accept, I think to accept this would be good as long as we have a... We add those to a secondary executive memo, session memo, to add those details in there, the notes.
So what I would do, I would suggest that we go with the motion. So the motion that's before us is to approve the adjustments listed in the memorandum dated August 8th, 2018, noting the detail is provided in the executive session notes for August 8th, 2018. That would be, I would say that would be the motion.
I would second that.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to enter the e-poll results into the record in accordance with SOP. suggested motion enter the e-poll results into the record in accordance with the OBC SOP entitled Conducting Electronic Voting for Approved Legislative Reference Office Staff Attorney Contract File Number 2018-0869.
So moved.
There's motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. I believe that concludes all of our actions for executive session. We just have one third quarter report for the Oneida Golf Enterprise at scheduled at 2:50. So I suggest we take a 10-minute break.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Ernie to break for 10 minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Kind of.
All right, it's 2:50. I'll call us back to order. I don't know. I don't necessarily need a motion. I guess just calling us back to order from a break. So next and last on our agenda is to accept the Oneida Golf Enterprise Corporation fiscal year 2018 third quarter report. So I'll turn it over to Josh and Justin.
Okay. Thank you. Season started off well. Season passes are up 10% to prior year and 6% to budget. It has been a little slow with the weather. We've had 42 less playable days in this fiscal year compared to the prior year. With revenues being down, we have controlled expenses as well. And a net position is $41,000 better than budget and close to $24,000 better than last year. So.
Questions or comments on the financials? All right.
Motion, make a motion to accept the third quarter report for the Oneida Golf Enterprise Corporation.
Motion by David, seconded by Lisa. Discussion, Lisa?
I just wanted to note, just because this is the open part of the report, that we did actually have an opportunity to go over the report with you all in executive session. So just so that it's noted for the record that if we're not hearing questions from us now in open session, it's because we had them addressed with you in executive session already prior to this meeting. So I just want to make sure that that's clear for anybody who goes back and reviews the information, that that's what occurred. So call for the question.
All right, motion by David, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Ernie, did you have something?
No, I just put my mic back down.
Okay.
Motion all right, adjourn. Well, thank yous for.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, no.
Thank yous for coming up.
Yeah,
I think we have one more thing to deal with, I guess.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank yous.
The memo.
No, the notes. The executive session notes.
Okay.
Notes are internal. Right. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs to know that. You can't subject them to
their draft documents.
Questions.
Their draft documents.
Yeah. So just so that you guys know that I said to note it, but I didn't mean for us to note it in the record. I meant for us to note it ourselves so that it's clear, so that Lisa's going to strike that.
Concur.
Okay.
Will come up, but
yes. Nope.
Keep her there.
Make a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Ernie to adjourn at 2:53. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.